Good evening. Welcome. It's so good to see you all here as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. I'd like to bring your attention to the announcements on the back of your bulletin. And I want to take this time to say thank you to everyone who, another year, and we did it. We did it because we love each other and we love our community. And we come together and we work and we do God's work, and it's just a wonderful, beautiful thing to be a part of. So thank you. Thank you. Do I have any other announcements? Let us worship the Lord.
Let us begin with prayer. God of glory, your splendor shines from a manger in Bethlehem, where the light of the world is humbly born into the darkness of human night. Open our eyes to Christ's presence in the shadows of our world, so that we, like him, may become beacons of your justice and defenders of all for whom there is no room. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Cummings family will light our Advent candle. After Debbie sings.
Thank you.
The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin, and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Emmanuel, You have given us a gift that we can never deserve. You do not ask us to be worthy. You do not ask us to earn Your love. Yet the ways we have fallen short threaten to overtake us. But we know we can come to You, even on this holiest of nights, to seek the forgiveness You offer so freely, grateful for Your mercy. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. And also. Chance? Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ. Okay. Okay, Schaefer's, peace of Christ be with you. Good to see you. Peace of Christ be with you.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, show us the Word made flesh, good news of great joy for all, so that we may sing with the angels, glory in the highest and peace on earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson this evening will be from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. It can be found on page number that's printed in your bulletin. I'm not reading from that one, and it's not turned right, so sorry. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Holy wisdom, holy words.
Instead of asking the children to come forward, I'm going to come to you, since y'all are all sitting right here pretty much up front anyway. That's convenient. You know, we talk about Jesus in lots of different terms. We talk about Jesus as the Son of God, the Lamb of God, Prince of Peace, all those different words that you heard Ms. Cummings read just now. But tonight's the night that we light the Christ candle too. And we call Jesus the light of the world. You know, one of the reasons we call Jesus the light of the world is because we truly understand who God is, because God came to us in a form that we can understand. God came as a person that we could see. That's the big fancy theological word for that is incarnation. But that just means that God came as a person. Because, you know, God is so big, bigger than any of us can fully understand with our limited minds. So God came in a form that we could look and we could see what real love and a perfect person look like. And that was Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for family and so much the opportunity to be together. And we thank you for Jesus who came into the world to be our light. For it's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's interesting how the different gospels tell us about the birth of Jesus? Mark, the earliest gospel, does not even talk about the birth of Jesus, but jumps right to the baptism and the identification of Jesus as the Son of God by words coming down from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Matthew and Luke were written about the same time, after Mark and before John. Even though they are called synoptic gospels because they look alike, there are some very real differences. As I pointed out Sunday, Matthew was probably written by a Greek-speaking Jew who was well-educated, possibly even a Pharisee who was an early Christian. He wrote with the viewpoint of someone who wants to prove to Jews that Jesus is the fulfillment of Scripture. He quotes Hebrew Scripture, tells the story of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective, and parallels the story of Jesus' birth with the story of Joseph, Moses, and the Exodus. The story of Jewish salvation from Egyptian captivity. Tonight we focus on Luke's telling of the story of the birth of Jesus. As you might expect, Luke tells the story from his point of view, emphasizing points that lead into the gospel as he wants to tell it. Now, traditionally, Luke is a Greek-speaking physician who traveled with Paul and learned much of what he knew from Paul and Paul's companions. Luke himself is not believed to ever have met Jesus, largely because the details of Jesus' ministry in the book of Luke are taken almost verbatim from the Gospel of Mark. Had he personally observed Jesus, he probably wouldn't have needed to do that. So, as I am sure you recall, the writer of the Gospel of Luke is also the writer of the book of Acts. Luke is believed to be a companion of Paul because on several of his trips with Paul, he starts saying, "We." "We did this and we did that," which indicates that the writer was present with Paul. Furthermore, the Greek writing in the books of Luke and Acts is the best Greek writing in the New Testament. This indicates that the writer probably wrote in Greek as his first language and was highly educated. Some of the words he uses are also medical terminology, thereby indicating he was probably trained as a physician. So when Luke tells the story of the birth of Jesus, he does not quote the Old Testament like Matthew, but he does refer to some of the same important points. Luke agrees with Matthew that Jesus' birth was miraculous and indicates that Mary was a virgin. In Luke 1, Mary is approached by an angel and told that she will have a son. Mary asks the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel tells her that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Notice the similarity and the difference to Matthew. In both, an angel conveys the information that Jesus will be miraculously born. Matthew emphasizes the message being given to Joseph. Luke emphasizes the message being given to Mary. This detail is insignificant, but the important message is the same. Likewise, Matthew emphasizes the wise men or magi coming from far away, certainly outside of Israel, to visit and worship the Christ child. Luke emphasizes the announcement of the message to shepherds and their visit to see Jesus lying in a manger in a stable. Now, while we probably think of cute little lambs and their gentle caretakers when we think of shepherds, Luke's audience probably would have thought of rough, unsophisticated, and even dishonest nomads, kind of like we think when we hear the word gypsies. They were despised by Orthodox Jews because they were unable to keep the details of the ceremonial law that involved meticulous hand washing and the like. Luke's point is that Jesus came bearing good news even to the least, the rough, the sinner. Yes, even you and me. It's interesting to note that shepherds in the area of Bethlehem were probably the keepers of the sheep who were to be used for sacrifice in the temple. Temple authorities kept their own flocks of sheep to ensure that they would have a ready supply of unblemished animals for sacrifice. It's probably significant that the keepers of the sheep of sacrifice were the first to meet the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The difference in details between the Gospels is not significant. The message is the same. God has sent His Son to us to be the Messiah. Matthew and Luke make it clear that Jesus is of the house and lineage of King David, from whom the Messiah of the Lord has been foretold to come. Luke goes further and calls Jesus the Soter, which in Greek means Savior. Luke also calls Jesus the Lord 14 times, compared with only once in Mark and once in Matthew. Both Matthew and Luke have angels announce the birth of Jesus, and both Gospels have the hearers choose to accept the message and then go worship. Their choice, like ours, is between acceptance or rejection of the story. Their choice of response, like ours, is between worshiping God and praising God for the good news, or rejection of the story and persecution of those who believe. Luke's choice of showing shepherds hearing and believing the message sets the scene for the rest of the gospel. Throughout the gospel of Luke, he emphasizes how Jesus reaches out to those who are unlovely, unwashed, sinful. According to Luke, Jesus not only loves the shepherd, He is the good shepherd who associates with those whom no one else will associate with. That was good news then, and it's good news to us today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Having heard the Word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, we come to the table. This is the Lord's table. This is not First Presbyterian Church's table. This is not the Presbyterian Church USA's table. This is the Lord's table. And all who seek Him are invited to come. Let us pray. Blessed are You, O Lord our God. When we were living in deep darkness, You sent us Your light, a child called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All authority in heaven and on earth rest upon His shoulders. Blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior, born in a stable. He is our Good Shepherd and your Holy Lamb. Lying in a manger, He is the bread of life, food for our souls. Praised by the whole heavenly host, He is the hope and joy of all the earth. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this bread and cup. Make us one in body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Teach us to renounce worldly passions and frivolous pursuits. In this present age, let our lives be godly, upright, and self-controlled, while we await the coming in glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Spirit, we bless you, God of glory, now and forevermore. Amen. So on the night of His arrest, Jesus took bread. And after having blessed it, He broke it. And He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, He took the cup. And He said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until He comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Tonight, we're going to do communion by intinction. What I'd like you to do is to come to the center aisle, come forward. I will hand you a piece of bread. Then there will be two with chalices on either side. You can dip the bread and go ahead and eat it at that point. And then return to your seat using the outer rows. There is, I guarantee you my hands are clean. But if you would rather, we do have some of the sealed cups on the side too that you can grab if you prefer. The table is prepared. Please come.
everyone been served? That's
why I ask.
This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Let us pray. God of shepherds and sheep, we give you thanks that you have gathered us here, revealed to us your glory, and fed us with your mercy. Now send us out with good news for all. For us a child is born, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Now please stand as you're able, and let's say together the words of the affirmation of faith printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? The one sufficient revelation of God is Jesus Christ, the Word of God incarnate, to whom the Holy Spirit bears unique and authoritative witness through the Holy Scriptures, which are received and obeyed as the Word of God written. Amen. Please be seated. Will the ushers please come forward? We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit of me.
Let us pray. Remember God's message. Do not be afraid. Therefore, we pray with hope and joy. Lord, in your mercy. We pray with hope and joy for the church. Lead us in the song of your angels, giving glory to you in the highest heaven, and proclaiming peace to your people on earth. Lord, in your mercy. We pray with hope and joy for our communities. Give welcome to those who are strangers, and shelter to those who have no place to sleep. Let all your children be counted among the blessed. Lord, in your mercy. We pray with hope and joy for all nations of the world. Bring an end to the tramping of boots and silence the trumpets of war. Let all nations rejoice in the harvest of peace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray with hope and joy for the earth. Heal the damage we have done to your world, so that the heavens may be glad and the earth rejoice, and the trees of the forest sing for joy. Lord, in your mercy. We pray with hope and joy for our loved ones. Let your light shine on those who wait in darkness. Heal the sick and help all who suffer, so that they may rejoice in your saving love. Lord, in your mercy. We ask these things with joy, O God, confident in the knowledge of your goodness. And we ask these things with hope, knowing that our Redeemer is here. For to us is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus Christ, in whose holy name we pray. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 122, Silent Night, and we'll lower the lights and I will come down the center aisle. I hope everybody has picked up a candle and we'll let the light of Christ fill the sanctuary. that the light of Christ fills our lives. We will sing together, Joy to the World. The word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. The good news of the birth of the Savior, Christ our Lord, has been announced to you like it was announced to the shepherds. According to Luke, the shepherds chose to go and see and worship the Lord. I encourage you to choose to respond to the announcement by seeking God's presence and praising Him with how you live your life. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.